The News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. About to commence.
And good morning, North State. And no, it's not Thursday. This is Trish Clark, and it's Friday. And I'm here this morning. Carl is being a proper son-in-law and taking a morning off. And so I'm here. We're streaming live on KCNR1460.com. If you've got something to talk to us about, you can give us a call at 605-4567. I'm joined with my co-host this morning, Ted Leidy.
Good morning, Trish. How are you?
I'm wonderful. And who could be less than wonderful after the wonderful evening we had last night?
Man, that was so fun. I mean, I really enjoyed that.
Linda is a consummate performer. If you people have not been to experience her professionalism, we were at the Elegance last night at Elements at Wind River. Boy, Las Vegas style show.
It was just unbelievable. And to think right here in Reading, you know, and we can hear that in Reading. It was just a great time. The party was unbelievable. The Lou White Band played incredibly. Just really a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. She had some great artists, and it was a wonderful time. And we're 56 degrees in downtown Reading right now. Light rain's falling. Showers likely mainly after 10 a.m. Cloudy with a high near 57 today. Rain likely this evening up to 4 a.m. 30% chance of showers on Saturday. 20% chance of showers Saturday night, and Sunday looks like we might have a little bit of clearing up until late in the afternoon, about 60% chance then. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. It's locally owned and operated. They give senior and veterans discounts, and you can reach them at 365-3793. And we're joined also this morning by this cute, fuzzy little kitty, and Spencer. From Haven Humane. Good morning, Spencer.
Good morning. So this morning I brought with me Jitterbug. She is a three-month-old Siamese mix, almost all white with a little bit of gray on the tips of her ears and a little bit on her face, with bright, gorgeous blue eyes.
Yes, she does. She's got the bluest eyes and a little black-gray tail.
Yes. So Jitterbug had came into our shelter as an owner surrender when she was just a few days old. And thankfully, we had a wonderful family that had spent the last 2 months fostering her, which was taking care of her, showing her love, and just giving her a nice place to call home until she was big enough to be adopted. Jitterbug is now at the appropriate age to be adopted, and so she is available for adoption at Haven Humane Society.
And how do they go about that?
So all you need to do is stop by the shelter at 7449 East Side Road. You can view all of our animals that we currently have available for adoption. Once you fall in love with someone, it's just a little bit of paperwork. We do have an adoption fee. The adoption fee on the animals does include their spay or neuters, their vaccinations, testing for diseases. Everything medically is included in our adoption fee. And currently we're running a special called A Home for the Holidays, where we have a goal of placing 200 animals into forever homes by New Year's. And we're about halfway there right now, a little over halfway. And to help us place that many animals by the end of the year, we have reduced all adoption fees up to 50% off on all animals. All cats are 50% off, which means you can bring Jitterbug home for $42.50. And all dogs, depending on how long they've been at our shelter, depends on what percentage off they are.
Okay. And look, she's sitting there so nice.
She's really beautiful. Spencer, how do you guys feel about adopting pets using Facebook or other types of social media?
Yeah, we actually do use all forms of social media to try to get our pets adopted out. We are on Facebook multiple times a day. We're on Instagram and Pinterest. We post adoptable animals daily. We also like to go on there and post all of our successful stories, the pictures of the animals that have just been adopted with their new family. And it really seems to work out.
Good, because I just posted her on Facebook.
Not a problem.
Oh, it's good to ask before, actually.
Well, too bad. I thought about it and thought, well, I don't know.
I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to say, oh, okay, well, I'm sorry you don't like that. No.
No, any way that we can get the word out to help place homeless animals, that's our number one goal, is to get them into forever homes. So if you haven't already liked our Facebook page, search by Haven Humane Society, and make sure you like our Facebook page to see all of our happy stories and upcoming events. And it's a great way to stay connected with your local animal shelter.
Yeah, you should be here now because Ted's like petting the jitterbug here on the table and she's just loving it. And yeah, you know, these little animals, they need a place to be, and especially around the holidays, it would be great to take one of the animals home. So if you've got a place in your heart and in your home for an animal to give them a forever home, follow the yellow brick road to Haven Humane Society and adopt one of these nice animals and take them home.
Please do.
She's just purring like crazy.
Yeah. She's got quite the motor on her.
Oh, yeah. Boy, she's loud. Can you hear her?
Yeah, you can hear her in the studio here. Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks very much, Spencer.
There you go, Spencer. I wish I could take her home, but I can't. I already got two of my own. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one more, that'd make three.
That's right.
So anyway, I also want to remind everybody this is the first Sunday of the month coming up, and we've got the breakfast at the Frontier Senior Center. Community breakfast. Bring your kids. Bring your families. You got people visiting. Come on down. That's one of the ways that we support the center down there. Frontier Senior Center is a little different than most of the other facilities in the state of California because it's not a government-operated facility. It's owned and operated by the seniors. That we don't charge any membership fees for any of the functions we hold there. So we have to have some fundraising activities, and we try to do that without having a huge impact and beating up on all the businesses on a regular basis. So one of the ways we do that is this breakfast on the first Sunday of every month. So you come down, bring all your friends. We serve from 8 to 11, and you get your choice of pancakes, sausage and eggs, or French toast, or biscuits and gravy. And the biscuits and gravy is really good because I make the gravy myself.
Oh, excellent.
So you just come on down. It's $5. You can't beat that for a breakfast. And come down and join us.
Perfect. Down. All right.
All right. What's going on in the paper today?
San Jose homeless camp cleared. Hundreds of people. Did you see that?
I saw that.
That's a great story.
It is. But now they're struggling. What are they going to do with all these people they put back on the streets?
Well, I think they should probably figure out how to buy a piece of land and camp on their own land.
Well, you know, that'd be a good idea.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, no. But the issue is, I think we just need to start and take a look at holding them accountable, you know, making the decision, if we're going to have to take care of these people, do it in a proper manner, and not just let them take over our private property.
Well, we're already taking care of them. I mean, if they had no means, they would be starving to death. So they have means. They're getting money from somewhere. And there's a lot of social services, a lot of programs in town that keeps them just alive enough to camp.
Yeah.
That's it. And so I think we need to figure out how to take those resources and use them a little more productively in the community for them, right? For our homeless population, and get them off private property. They don't belong there. It's illegal. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they should either buy a piece of property, like I said, and camp all they want to, like I would, or move to someplace else, like a campground.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that sounds like I'm simplifying it, but that's not the case. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, it is.
And if you ask the chief, he'd tell you the same thing, which is what he's doing now, is he's, you know, clearing out them camps just like they did in San Jose. Starts out with six, and now they got 600.
Yes.
You know, well, it becomes like a ghetto.
It does, and they have, you know, and the people that own the private land, I mean, we've got, boy, we want somebody to talk to you about that, get a hold of Chris Walga and have her tell her story. She has no sympathy with this whole thing for long. They've terrorized on her land down there that they burned out for the last 6-7 years.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, they finally burned themselves out, so they're less of a problem, but we need to get Chris in and have her give us an update as to how much that whole debacle cost her, what the cleanup effort has been, and are they coming back, or are they responsive, or what have you? So probably a good time to have an update from her.
Yeah, I think she'd be a great guest.
Savannah is also with us this morning, and we got a little comment to go out.
Yeah, good morning. Let's see if this mic is working properly. Does this sound funny a little bit, this microphone? Okay, I was told this morning that this microphone isn't working very well. But anyways, good morning. I just want to give a shout-out to two of our sponsors, Orchard Nutrition. Orchard Nutrition is North State's nutrition experts with the largest selection of natural foods and supplements in Northern California. They're located in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. You can give them a call at 244-9141. And then Four Winds Jewelry, they're the full-service jewelry store providing the finest selection of jewelry in Northern California. They're located at 2225 Hilltop Drive. You can give them a call at 222-2750.
And if you got Christmas shopping to do for that special lady, you need to go there and see Leonard.
There it is.
A girl can't have too many guns or too many diamonds.
She cannot have too many guns or too many diamonds, I'll tell you that.
Okay. And we're going to go to a break, and we'll be right back on the other side.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. Oh, it could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSafe. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days, and it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it, and you won't run out. Save time, save gas, save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS, and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy, making your life easier.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Looking for an unusual quality piece of jewelry? Do you have a wristwatch or timepiece that needs to be repaired and you don't know where to go to? Well, Four Winds Jewelry is the place. They have the only watch repair technician in town. Four Winds Jewelry is located at 2225 Hilltop Drive. And Four Winds Jewelry are the experts in gold or loose stones, opals, estate jewelry, or Native American pieces.
Go in and see Leonard and his associates. Four Winds Jewelry, meeting all your jewelry needs. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4 p.m. 222-2750.
Four Winds Jewelry.
Let's celebrate an amazing year. It's not too late to buy a ticket for one of Reading's most beautiful events of the season. Join us this Sunday, December 7th, at Wind River Resort and Casino for the Elegance of Christmas Tea 2014. Hosted by Reading Republican Women Federated, a light lunch, giveaways, entertainment with a fashion show. Don't miss out. We'll give you something to celebrate.
For information and tickets, contact Diana Branch, 941-2100, 941-2100.
And welcome back, North State. This is Trish Clark sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott. I'm joined this morning by Ted Leidy, and we're just chatting along here. If you're interested in joining us, you can jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Or give us a call at 605-4567. You got anything stuck in your craw? You were going to do that
live? That's right. Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call.
There you go. All right. If you got something you'd like to talk about, otherwise, Ted and I'll just sit here and fill up the hour and talk about whatever.
Yeah, call in with your gun questions. You know I love guns.
Well, there you go. There you go. You know, one of the articles I saw in the paper this morning, which I think is really great, is the Glen Colusa Irrigation District is doing a project up here with the fish. And you say, what is Glen Colusa doing up in the river in Redding? But it's all about the water. And the farmers, of course, are absolutely dependent upon lots of water down the valley, especially with the rice farmers and everything. And if the fish are happy and we're getting the good numbers up here, the people that control that water, the Central Valley Water Project, are more inclined to support, unfortunately, the fish than they are the farmers. So if they can keep the fish happy and keep those numbers up, we get more water, they keep more water in the system, and it makes it better for the farmers down the road.
Looks like a real good project.
I think so. And, you know, years ago, I just lost the name of it. There's an organization here in Redding that does a great a whole bunch of those projects with the gravel and what have you, and they restored the habitat in many of these areas, and it's made a huge difference in you know how the water runs. We've got a call. We're going to go to the phone, and we've got Gary on the line. Good morning, Gary. Gary, good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
You want to make an announcement?
Good morning and Merry Christmas to both of you.
Merry Christmas, Gary.
Okay. Today, if you like standing out in the rain, the Geoengineering Awareness Rally is this morning. In fact, there are two of them at 10:30 at the newspaper, Record Searchlight. And then we also will meet at 10 a.m. I'm sorry, 10 a.m. at the Record Searchlight, because apparently they don't know what those white trails are or even if they exist in the sky. And then at 12:30, we'll meet at KRCR Channel 7 to do the same thing, and its awareness hopefully will jar them to look up in the sky and question or inform the public what those white things are. Okay, number two, Common Core, Shasta County Against Common Core, meets tonight at 5:30 at the Good Times Pizza Parlor in Palisadro, and that's at the corner of Old 44 and Deschutes, and that's at 5:30, and I urge the parents to become informed, and we will inform you regarding Common Core, the negatives, which are many, and how to opt out of the Common Core testing legally. So we have that information available. And furthermore, speaking of Common Core, we will meet with the Shasta County Superintendent of Schools at 1:30 next Wednesday, which is the 10th at 1:30, and this is our second meeting with him, but this is the first one in public, and it should be interesting because, for the most part, after the first meeting with him, he really doesn't know what's going on with Common Core as far as the damage that can be done.
Gary, let me ask you a question. How many people in Shasta County are involved with your group with the Common Core?
Our group has about seven or eight that putting these things together. Because most people that you talk to, and I've also talked to some a lot of people in Utah, they look at you with eyes in the headlights, and no, that can't be. They're not doing that.
The deer in the headlight look thing.
That I'm afraid so. But we will have information there. We've got pamphlets that have been printed up, and we're on the campaign. And like I said, the school boards, we will also meet with one of the school boards. We haven't decided which one on the night to make a brief presentation and try to be on their agenda, because most school boards do not know what is happening, and they... The members will be liable when the lawsuits start, and I don't say if, it's when the lawsuits start.
There certainly is. Everyone should be educating themselves about Common Core.
Oh,
I concur with you that there's a lot of damage to our schools.
There are a lot of grandparents that are involved, and they should know what is happening to their grandchildren.
It's not. I don't know. The education system seems to be falling way short in my mind of educating our children. If you look at some of the history books, you look at anything they're teaching our children. Certainly not something I want my grandchildren to learn. I'd rather have them learn the actual history of this country, and not the watered down revised version that they're getting now.
Exactly. We have excerpts from that, and it seems to be one of the main factors of Common Core is to put a dividing line, or split, if you will, between the children and their parents. The parents cannot help them with the homework, especially the math. You have to do it this way. Even though you have the right answer, you have to go through all this 10-step process. And that's the general idea, where the kids will become dependent on the authority figures, the school, the government, and the parents will be left out because they're just left out.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because there's some of us who have had this idea of where they were going for a long time. You know, when they first came out with the first five thing and 0 to 5, and they're going to take care of our children and they're going to start doing this. And you know, we used to have first grade, then you got kindergarten, then you got preschool. And there's been a concerted effort for a lot of years for the government to take over the education of our children from the time they're born.
Well, it worked very well with Hitler and the Third Reich.
I was just going to say, I think we have an example of how well that worked someplace else. And this education thing has been a big thing with me for a long time, and Common Core seems to be the final step in the takeover to me. So I'm glad to see that there's an active group here.
And we have done
to at least expose it.
The lady that heads up our group, funny that I find out after I joined the group, she's a former student of mine, as well as her husband is, and she's done, in just 2 months of research, and it's a lot of research, the stack is 6 inches thick.
Yeah.
And when she comes to the meetings, she just overwhelms most people because they have no clue that it's not about the subject matter, the curriculum, it's about the money. And the control, just like Obamacare was not about health, Common Core is not about education. It's about control.
That's what the whole agenda coming out of the White House right now is, I believe. But thanks so much, Gary, for the information. We appreciate
you
calling in.
For Ted, when we're in doubt, we lock and load.
That's right. That's right, Gary.
All right. Thank you very much. And a Merry Christmas to both of you.
Merry Christmas, brother.
Same to you, Gary. Merry Christmas. That's a good thing. I'm on my rant about when I go into a store now and they want my money if they start the happy holiday stuff with me. If I can't get them to say Merry Christmas, I'm not spending my money there.
Good. You know, I was, you guys were here when I was on my way in listening to KCNR, and they had the story about Piedmont. I forget what state it was in. In fact, I don't even know if I heard it, but they had made it illegal to say Christmas.
Yes.
They had taken the Christ out of Christmas. Yeah, they had voted on it, and it had come down, and they had the mayor.
It was
Piedmont, quote from the mayor.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember just when I was on the Board of Supervisors, and Joanne Davis, great personnel director, but she wanted to bring in and revise all of the manuals, the employee manuals, because, you know, you have Christmas vacation, you have Easter vacation, you have all,
right.
You get so many days off. Well, we've gone away from that, and now it's not politically correct to say any of the above, so all of those needed to be taken out and revised. And she kept saying she was going to put it on the agenda on the consent calendar to do that. And I said, no, no, no. When you do that, it's going to be on the regular agenda, because I have some questions. I mean, if we're not celebrating Christmas and we're not taking Christmas Eve off and we're not having Christmas Day off and we're just celebrating December 25th, then I'm questioning why they get a holiday.
Yeah, they should have a secondary vote. The first vote should be, do you want to do away with Christ and Christmas? Second vote should be, okay, fine, we work all the way through December. You make the call.
I like it a lot. Interestingly enough, it never was on the agenda all the time I was on the board, and about a month after I was – off the board, went right through on the consent calendar. It's all done. Nobody talked about it at all.
Absolutely, yeah. Too bad.
Okay, it's time to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I would like to thank all of our customers who pay their bills on time. The delivery drivers are back from the fires and filling a lot of kerosene tanks, so don't wait till winter. Kathy has a lot of 1 gallon to 2.5 gallon propane bottles for all the campers and hunters. They're a lot easier to handle. We are doing a lot more wet hosing on construction sites for those who don't want to worry about fuel on site. Give Danny a call. Kathy and Johnny still have 1 or 2 used heaters left. They're going quick. If you need a new gauge or a filter on your kerosene tank, be sure to let us know, and we'll bring one out with your next delivery. Northern Lights Energy, Corning, Weaverville, and Redding. Family-owned, small business, and great people. Not a lot of answering machines. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Hi, this is Sharon, owner of Home Helpers, here to wish you a safe and happy holiday season. While spending time with family this joyous time of year, keep in mind some simple signs that mom and dad may be needing some more help at home. Many families notice changes in their loved ones while seeing them over the holidays. Is the mail stacking up? Have you seen past due notices? Have mom or dad forgotten to turn off appliances or failed to lock the doors at night? Check the refrigerator for food freshness and expiration dates. And check medications. Are they being refilled timely and taken properly? For more tips and information on how you can help, visit ReddingHomeHelpers.com or call me, Sharon, for an in-home assessment and learn more about Home Helpers and our many home care services. Call Home Helpers at 226-8350 or visit us online at ReddingHomeHelpers.com. This holiday season, give your loved one the gift of safely remaining at home. Happy holidays from Home Helpers.
At Dignity Health, we know that navigating healthcare can be confusing, especially during open enrollment. We are here with information to help you understand the Affordable Care Act and guide you through Covered California so you can find a health plan that's right for you. Whether it's an informational event in your neighborhood or helping connect you to our top-rated doctors and hospitals, we can help. Visit dignityhealth.org/enroll or call 1-855-233-0688. Dignity Health. Hello, human kindness.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. When you started off with nothing, and you're proud that you're a self-made man. And your friends, they all
go. Okay, and welcome back. This is Trish Clark, and I'm standing in this morning for Carl and Ted. Ted Leidy is standing in for Linda, and that sounds weird, right? But it's not even Thursday.
That's true, though. I'm sitting right where Linda sits, so I'll go ahead and stand in for Linda. You stand
okay,
in for Carl.
I'm standing in for Carl, and we're having a great time here. It's 56 degrees, and Savannah?
I need to thank 2 more of our sponsors. Cypress Square Barbershop. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but Carl always calls it Man's Last Stronghold. They're located at 2463 Athens Avenue, or you can give them a call, 244-9478. And then Alliance Heating and Air, serving the North State for over 20 years with outstanding service to all models and makes of heating and cooling systems. Give them a call, 221-2642.
If you'd like something to talk to us about and you want to give us a call, you call 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com. I'm not looking at anything that tells me who's in there, but I want to welcome all the people that I'm sure are in there this morning and hope we're keeping you entertained. And if you've got something you'd like to talk about, give us a call. We've got Dave Girard with us now, and he's with the Downtown Business Association. And going to give us an update on all of the wonderful things that are going on in downtown Reading. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Well, I'm with the Downtown Reading Business Association. This is a group that was formed in 1995 to help benefit downtown businesses, to bring folks downtown, to help promote business and activities and events, to bring folks downtown, to remind them that downtown is alive and viable, and it's a great place to do business.
Are you involved with the skating rink process that's going in down there?
We are not. That, I believe, is an activity that is being promoted by Viva Downtown.
Okay. Tell us the difference.
Well, the DRBA is a group that, again, was established by ordinance of the City Council. All of the members within the business investment group downtown pay a fee each year. And the Downtown Reading Business Association Board is the group charged with using that money to benefit downtown businesses. Viva Downtown is a volunteer organization that was formed by grassroots folks who really want to promote downtown. So we do similar kinds of things. The DRBA is composed, I was going to say primarily, but completely, by downtown business owners. Viva Downtown is comprised of volunteers, some of whom may be downtown business owners, who are interested in promoting the same goals. They're interested in getting folks downtown, making sure that downtown remains viable and vibrant.
Okay, and so you're like, I would hope, working to with the theater group that's trying to establish the theater presence along with the Cascade Theater, and which is already a marvelous success, but Riverfront's trying to come down there. I mean, and I see this morning where they've hired someone to help that project to raise the rest of that money. Hopefully your groups are involved with them.
Yes, indeed. The DRBA has given the Riverfront Playhouse group, I believe, $25,000 over the time that they've been running their capital campaign to help them with the, hopefully, very soon, groundbreaking of their new downtown facility.
Boy, that's a good sum, $25,000. Good for you guys. And I know you guys have had some other wins also, right? I mean, you guys are very, very active down there. What are some of the other projects you guys have spearheaded in the past year or two?
Well, we traditionally have provided a lot of funding to Viva Downtown for their operations. Last year or two, but it goes back much, much farther back than that. We've been consistent sponsors of the Downtown Lighted Christmas Parade, something that was formerly handled by the Trade Club, but the last couple of years now has been taken over by the Active 2030 Club. Young folks who are interested in giving back to their community, and we're very, very strong supporters of them. Likewise, in our meeting yesterday, we gave the Active 2030 Club folks $1,500 toward the film festival that they put on every year. So the Reading Film Festival that takes place at the Cascade Theater.
Which is delightful. If you haven't participated in that, it's once again, I'm always amazed that I have people say to me, "Oh yeah, no, we don't have any culture in Shasta County, and there's nothing going on," and and I just am amazed at that, because we are exposed to so many quality productions, specifically at the Cascade Theater as well as the Riverfront Playhouse and the colleges and they we have tremendous. The symphony, all the things that are going on along with the stuff at the convention center. There's always something going on, specifically in downtown.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We also lately have been working in connection with the city of Reading on our downtown urban forest, as it's referred to. Downtown, if anybody is paying attention, has a lot of trees, but it doesn't have as many trees as it once did. The city, with its budgetary constraints, has had difficulty maintaining our urban forest. Trees have become diseased and removed. Others are ill-sited for where they're located, pulling up sidewalks and creating problems for buildings sometimes. What we're doing in connection with the city of Reading is commissioning Rico Montenegro, an internationally known arborist who happens to live here in Reading, to do a study of all the downtown trees and determine the overall state of our urban forest and what trees are in good shape, what trees potentially we need to replace, and how we can create an environment that is going to sustainably allow us to continue to be a Tree City USA, which is a designation the city of Reading has enjoyed. And I believe that's designated by the National Arbor Day Foundation. So we're interested not only in activities, but in infrastructure improvements to try and make the downtown a more beautiful and inviting place, both to do business and for the public to come.
Try to create a better foot traffic pattern.
Yes, indeed.
Get them out of their cars, get them to stop in little shops and do some fun stuff.
Right.
Well, I think we can all agree that downtown has been revived. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of foot traffic down there now. The last time I saw much foot traffic downtown is when they had the cruise downtown. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, there was a lot of foot traffic there.
There was a lot of foot traffic, that's right.
That wasn't a lot what we were looking for there.
Yeah, after that, though, kind of died off, and then you guys got involved, and Viva Downtown got involved, and now they've got the promenade going on down there. And what's the Thursday night fair? In the summertime.
Market Fest.
Yeah,
well, it was Market Fest. Yeah, it's now the Market Street Fair, they call
Market
it.
Street Fair, that's right. That's right. I didn't want to be wrong about that. I thought that's
because
what it was called.
And they've moved it because it was in the it started in the park behind the Lorenz Hotel.
Correct. Mm-hmm. It was in Library Park. And when the Lorenz Hotel undertook their big restoration project, gosh, it's been maybe 3 years ago, the construction crews needed the park for staging area, and that pushed Viva Downtown to have to find another spot to hold their activity. And as I understand it, it's been very successful for them in that Library Park is constrained by streets on the north and south, the Lorenz Hotel on the east, and the railroad on the west. And with the promenade, they have much more room. They've been able to accommodate pretty much anybody who wanted to be involved, from vendors to farmers market folks to different kinds of music venues at the various intersections. It's, as I understand it, has been a very successful transition.
Well, and I would think the parking and just the access and everything's got to be a better fit than Library Park was. That was always a challenge. Streets needed to be shut off. You're right next to the railroad track.
Right.
There's interference because you couldn't really shut the streets off because you needed to get the buses in and out. And it was always a challenge. And quite frankly, for me, I kind of stopped going because it was such a challenge to just kind of be there. But it's a much better venue in the downtown there. So what's coming up this month? I mean, my gosh, it's the holidays. It's Christmas.
Well, it's Christmas. And, of course, the Lighted Christmas Parade is this Saturday.
Oh,
nice. That's always a favorite.
And it's looking like maybe you might not get rained on.
That would be nice. The Trade Club in former days and the 2030ers do a wonderful job with that. It's just a delightful activity. Free, fun to bring the family and just enjoy a kind of a slice of Americana, I think.
I think so, yeah. And there's usually hot chocolate for sale and
right.
And popcorn. And it's you're right. It's something we remember as we were kids, and it's something to great experience for our children and our grandchildren to be out there, and the floats are incredible.
It's a very good event, and very, very well attended. I mean, the streets are lined with people.
Yes.
You're right, it is a great event. I my favorite Lighted Christmas parades are the ones where you are freezing. I know you've had a couple of those. You know, it's not 56. I've been to a Lighted Christmas parade where it was under 30.
Oh, yeah. And with the streets lined with umbrellas.
Oh, yeah.
They're diehards.
And
the parade goes on. Short of a hurricane,
it does.
I mean, it's not going to be canceled for the rain. It's going to keep going, and so it's well worth it. But I like it better when it's cold and crisp. I can do without the rain because it's easier to watch the parade. But and the weather says that we've got a chance at that. So
right, well, Lord knows we need the rain. I think we're all happy about that.
Yeah.
And it looks like we've been getting plenty of it. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, and the good part of that is it's not a deluge. We're not getting to, you know, sometimes we stand the problem with if it all comes down at one time, then we get the flooding issues that go
right
along with it. And this has been a nice, steady, kind of drenching, soaking in rain to where we knock on wood, haven't got any of the major flooding issues here. We do in some of the fire-prone areas and some of the recent fire areas that, you know, the green is gone to capture it, so they are having some flooding in some areas.
Right.
Wednesday was a deluge. Wednesday was crazy. I was on the gun range Wednesday with six students, and let me tell you, it was just flat coming down.
Oh, yeah.
And now that flooding down Tama County and Butte County.
Yeah, a little bit. We've been lucky so far, and we'll take it in little bits and keep it coming. We just need it to stop for a few important inventions like the Christmas Day.
Exactly.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back on the other side.
Hi, this is Aaron.
And this is Bill.
We're back. We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream media soundbites this Sunday in our brand new time slot, noon to 2 p.m.
We're back on the radio thanks to our many loyal listeners and new sponsors. Even our website has a new look. Check it out, wethepeopleradio.us.
We heard from all of you here locally in the KCNR listening area and the folks who listen online at wethepeopleradio.us. Span the globe. London, Israel, South Korea, lots of folks around the United States. They've sent us many programs we can't wait to do.
You know, for almost 4 years, we've spoken to famous and not so famous people from around the world who bring a perspective of limited constitutional government, fiscal responsibility, free markets, and common sense.
Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us for extensive archives and upcoming show information.
It's the most fun you can have with topics that will make your blood boil.
We the People returns this Sunday, noon to 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Fall is in the air, and when I think of a pumpkin latte, I think of Tobacco and Brew and Espresso Joe's. Holiday season is among us. Thinking of a hostess gift or perhaps something for a coworker? Tobacco and Brew carries a wonderful selection of coffee beans, loose tea leaves, and coffee and tea accessories. Tobacco and Brew, locally owned and operated, has been so supportive of our community, so shop local. Check out the largest humidor in the North State. New brands and your favorites always in stock. Tobacco and Brew, and so much more. Open 7 days a week. Located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, Tobacco and Brew.
A great commercial. You finished? You didn't mention, though, that Tobacco and Brew really supports veterans' issues and the veterans right here in Redding and Shasta County. In fact, hop in the truck. Let's head on down there.
Okay, let's go.
The City of Redding Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. Look at what's in your landscape and water according to the plant's needs. Shrubs and more established trees usually require less water than a lawn. Spread mulch around your plants and trees to increase the moisture-retaining ability of the soil and prevent weeds. And while you're at it, adjust your irrigation controller. 4 5-minute sessions of watering may be much more efficient than watering for 20 consecutive minutes. Be water smart. Visit RedingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Redding Water Utility.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. We would like to invite you to join us December 14th at 2 o'clock for the Northern California Christmas for the Troops program, the Homeward Bound Christmas. We're going to have live music with the Lou White Band, a great barbecue, and we're going to be packing 400 boxes and sending these boxes overseas to our military personnel across the world. Please join us if you'd like to give us a call. The phone number is 222-2282. Help us make a Merry Christmas for our military personnel around the world.
And welcome back. This is Brief Fire Radio, and you're listening to Trish Clark and Ted Leidy this morning. And we're having an interview with Dave Girard from the Downtown Reading Business Association. We're talking about all the stuff that's going on in Downtown Reading. If you'd like to join us or have comments, give us a call at 605-4567. Jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com and make your comments. And so, Dave, City of Reading's getting ready to figure out some new stuff for downtown. Tell us about that.
The City of Reading received a grant. Forgive me, I don't recall if it was from the state or the federal government, but it's a grant to study downtown traffic movement in the streets. And it takes into account pretty much all movement downtown, whether it be bicycle, pedestrian, and automobile. And the city has contracted with Omni Means, an engineering firm in town, who's going to be running that process. And there's going to be a lot of opportunity for public interaction. The DRBA is certainly going to be an active participant in that process. it's an interesting opportunity for Reading in all of its facets to weigh in on what they think about traffic downtown. Are we best served by having the present structure that has lots of one-way streets, the central core, essentially a pedestrian thoroughfare, and things as they're currently structured, or might we do better through restructuring of some kind? The downtown specific plan, which has been in place for quite some time, is a document that the city of Reading created some number of years ago that, along with the calling for removing the roof of the old mall, which did happen, resulting in the downtown Market Street promenade, was to reopen Market Street right down the middle, Yuba Street and Butte Street, the cross streets within the promenade, to traffic, to actually restore it as a street with traditional sidewalk thoroughfare. Whether or not that continues to be the desire of the public and the stakeholders in that remains to be seen. I personally support it because while I very much support the improvement of bicycle lanes and anything to enhance pedestrian traffic downtown, Reading is still, in my opinion, a very auto-centric community. We're 60-some square miles. Public transportation, RABA tries, but they just don't have enough ridership to create the kind of bus service like you would have in a big city where a bus comes by every 10 minutes and you can conveniently and easily get where you want to go.
Well, and I'll just tell you that even in those large cities, our system here in Reading and in Shasta County is subsidized, I believe, 85-86%, if not more. I think the fare box ratio is about 14-15%,
mm-hmm.
one way or the other. And even in your large metropolitan areas, Portland, as an example, they're still subsidizing that to 60-70%.
Sure.
They're simply, we in the United States, we like our open spaces. And we are, as you indicate, auto-driven.
We love our cars.
We love our cars and our planning department, specifically in this area. You want to put in a business, you're going to be required to put in X number of parking places so everybody that wants to come to your business has a place to park.
That's a good point.
So we're right at conflict with you, though. We're trying to get people to get out of their car and get in a bus, and yet we're requiring all these businesses to provide parking places.
Well, that's because we still have room. In Europe, they don't have any more room.
That's
they've been there for thousands of years. They've run out of room. So the bottom line is they don't have parking places for everybody. So you either have to ride a bike or ride public transportation. And gas is $6 a gallon. You make the call.
Absolutely. And $6 a gallon, no. It's about $9 a gallon right now. Last time I was over there, it was insane.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't been there in a few years myself, so it could very well be $9 a gallon.
But again, of course, it may have gone down now with the change in the market in the gas. I suppose that affects Europe as well. But you're right. Over there, people, even if they have cars, they only take them on holiday.
Right.
Because you just don't try to park downtown. Here, it's tough. It's getting them out of their cars that we're just not going to unless we have no choice.
Well,
and we do need to provide some kind of opportunity for those people who don't have cars to get where they need to be. And we try really hard, and Robert does a good job trying to provide that. It's never going to be great. It's never going to be convenient, and it's never going to run every hour, and you can hop off and on at every place throughout the city. We need to go to the phones. We have a caller on line one. Kay, good morning.
Good morning. You sort of hit one of my hot buttons.
Good.
That's our job.
I think that, I've ridden buses all over the United States, and one of the things that RABA doesn't do is it doesn't sell its tickets passes everywhere. I mean, for example, if you're in Anderson, you have to come down to RABA, and it's very hard to park there. You can't park. It's not convenient. It would be nice if you could park in the parking place for the train station and get your ticket there, but it's on the other side of the tracks. And you end up parking, if you park, you probably end up parking either in that parking lot in walkaways, And if somebody's handicapped, it makes it even harder. Or you park in the building that's really for the county, I think. But anyway, how are you going to get people to buy tickets if there's only one spot to buy them?
That's a great point. It's a great point, Kay. Have you ever attended one of the unmet needs hearings that the RABA board holds?
No.
Yeah, that's a great recommendation. It would seem to me if they should have places available close to bus stops in Anderson and City of Shasta Lake.
Grocery and stores or, what, you know. Yeah. I mean, that's what they do in other places. And even though they have it, I don't know of one.
Or even maybe online, an ability to get tickets online.
No, that gets hard. That's as hard as going down there for a lot of people. You need to have them at grocery stores where people go, I think. And, you know, I mean, all of them, like Safeway, you know, they have that place where you can buy different things, you know, that mm-hmm. customer service place. That would be the perfect place to sell them.
Okay, write RABA Board of Directors a letter and suggest to them that they expand that.
Well, and
that.
Another
good
thing
point.
Is, I think that their audience is people who don't have any money and are just going to doctors or something. But like in Sacramento, I mean, everybody rode the bus downtown. You know, I mean, that was the way we did it. I mean, Sacramento really has a good. Theirs is far better than I think than San Jose's.
Yeah.
Sacramento has a wonderful one, and it was like we were a big kid school bus, you know.
One of the issues we do have in Shasta County and is the fact that we are so spread out. It is very difficult to Redding is 60 square miles. That's bigger than San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, we're 10,000 square miles bigger than San Francisco.
Yeah, so the bus system has always been a huge challenge because of that. At one time, we were actually running a bus up to Shingletown.
Right.
And I made the comment at the time that we could have provided a car and gas for the six people that were riding that bus line less expensively than we were running that bus.
Well, technically, I think Anderson has the best part of the system, but they can't buy their tickets there.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, if they sold them at Ferry's and at Safeway.
It's an idea. Thanks very much for calling, Kay.
You're welcome.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, Kay.
I think that's a good idea. I didn't know they didn't. You got to go to Robert to buy a bus.
Well, I don't know because I haven't been involved now for 6 or 7 years with that whole system. I thought you used to be able to buy them when you got on the bus, but I guess not. So... Or get them at the next stop or when you came through the terminal at Reading. But that's certainly something for Robert to look at.
Yeah, that would surprise me if you couldn't.
Yeah, okay. So what else is going on in downtown Reading?
Well, to go back to the conversation about the traffic study, really, I think what it comes down to is what does the community want downtown to be? Most downtowns, if you think of successful downtowns, are retail hubs. And Reading once was. The Market Street corridor was all retail. And we have virtually no retail on Market Street any longer. We've got a couple of businesses. And
diehards, and they're trying
they're
hard
to hang
on.
In there.
Yeah.
But you look at the rest of the promenade corridor, and it's mostly government buildings or offices. And they're filled during the day, and that's good to have that space filled, but at 5 o'clock they empty out, and it becomes like a graveyard. And if you want a downtown to be vibrant and active, you've got to have people there at all hours of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And we're making strides in doing that. Some of our newer buildings that have been put up, the Gateway Building to the north of the studio here, the Pine Street Lofts, are mixed use, where you've got retail or office space on the lower floors and living space on the upper floors, create that kind of environment. But if we ever really want downtown to become a vibrant place again, there's going to have to be some real thought and effort put into how do we get retail back down on Market Street, which is our main street. Little shops and boutiques and coffee houses and things of that nature that bring people in at all hours of the day and night and make that a vibrant place once again.
Do you know, you look across the United States, and I don't guess I've ever lived in a city that didn't do exactly the same thing to their downtown. There was that period when we all said, gosh, we're going to make a little mall downtown.
Right.
I was born and raised in Twin Falls, Idaho. I'll guarantee you they're having the same discussions there that we're having in Redding because they did exactly the same thing. Anderson did exactly the same thing. I mean, they closed down their downtown, moved out to there, and here we go. So, well, thanks so much, Dave, for joining us this morning. Remind everybody about the lighted Christmas parade coming up this weekend. Even in the rain, it's going on, and we'll see you on the next hour, and thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll have no better friend than Ash Carter.
Hagel describing Carter as a reformer in every sense of the word, also a practical visionary. Also at SRNnews.com, the U.S. economy created 321,000 jobs last month, more than expected, according to Moody's Analytics chief economist Mark Zandi.
It's not that we're just producing low-paying jobs, but we're now producing high-paying and middle-paying jobs. The job gains are very, very broad.
Investors appear to be happy about the news on Wall Street, the Dow up about 60 points in early trading. At Cape Kennedy today,
5, 4, 3, 2.
NASA Administrator Charles Bolden Jr. calling it a day one of the Mars era.
At dawn, the dawn of Orion and a new era of American space exploration.
At the Kennedy Space Center today, NASA overcame yesterday's glitches and launched the Orion spacecraft on its first unmanned test flight. More than 3 dozen people stranded atop their cars in California's inner Riverside County yesterday.
It just looked like the road was going on and it just had a little bit of dirt on top until I got out in the middle and I just sunk down.
That's one driver's tale of woe. Riverside County Fire Department spokesman Lucas Spellman told KNBC the rain came down fast and furious.
We had 2.5 inches of rain within a few hours, so you can imagine how much mud and water and just everywhere.
And a Pacific rainstorm offering one final blow to California yesterday, and it needs all the rain it can get, according to official tallies at the end of last month. Still 99% of the state needed more rain, still in some state of drought. This is SRN News.
Did you know by age 50, half of all men have an enlarged prostate? This means more trips to the bathroom, longer time in the bathroom, waking at night to go, or issues in your romantic life. If this sounds familiar, call us now, because we're shipping free bottles of Super Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Super Beta Prostate is a non-prescription formula guaranteed to reduce the symptoms of your enlarged prostate. It's yours free. Pay only shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-859-4013. In clinical trials, the ingredient in Super Beta Prostate was shown to reduce urges to use the bathroom, speed up bathroom trips, reduce waking at night to go, and improve quality of life. This Super Beta Prostate free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Don't wait. Just call 1-800-859-4013. That's 1-800-859-4013. Call 1-800-859-4013.
South Africans today are marking the anniversary of the death of Nelson Mandela. The former statesman died December 5th of last year after a long illness at the age of 95. Mandela's widow, Graça Machel, says the former president was, in her words, the center and the glue of the family.
I'll be always grateful to him for having allowed me to create the space, physical and emotional, for him finally to embrace his family.
The ceremony was followed by an interfaith service at Freedom Park, an open-air memorial also in Pretoria. This is a case that once again highlights the perilous state of health care, especially for the poor in India. An investigation is underway after at least 11 poor and elderly people went blind following cataract surgeries performed at free medical camps run by a charity in the northern part of the country. This is SRN News. About 50 homeless people had to take their belongings out of a trash-strewn Silicon Valley creek yesterday as police and social services workers began clearing away one of the nation's largest homeless encampments.
We have to say as a community that this is an intolerable living environment and one that we're not going to accept.
That's San Jose official Ray Bramson, who says living conditions in the homeless camp known as the jungle are simply intolerable.
We're moving past it and we're moving towards long-term stable solutions that get people out of homelessness and into their own permanent living environments.
At its peak, the area known as the jungle housed as many as 350 people. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie says the Keystone XL pipeline should already be shoveling oil from Canada down to the United States.
My view is that we are missing an enormous opportunity when we delay this development.
And Chris Christie, speaking in Calgary yesterday, blamed overregulation in the United States for the holdup. More details at srnnews.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And good morning, North State. This is Trish Clark. I'm standing in this morning for Carl Bott, and Ted Leidy's here, and he is standing in for Linda.
Nice. That's right.
and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. If you've got something you'd like to talk about, give us a call at 605-4567. It is 56 degrees and downtown ready. We've got just a little kind of a sprinkle going off and on, a little bit of rain. The showers are likely mainly after 10 a.m. this morning, and it's going to remain cloudy with a high around 57. Rain mainly before 4 a.m. this evening, and it's only going to get down to about 49 degrees. 20% chance of showers on Saturday, so maybe the Christmas parade won't get rained out. And so we're looking at possibly rain through the rest of the week, however, and that's a good thing for us in the, here. We love all that rain and it's good for us. The weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends, locally owned and operated. They give senior and veterans discounts and you can reach them at 365-3793. And we're waiting now for Congressman Doug LaMalfa to call in. He's supposed to be our guest, and he's riding around in that Mustang someplace and needing to get to a phone or get out of an if he's in Washington, D.C., which I don't think he is. I think they're on Christmas break.
I believe so.
So I don't know whether he's coming live or he's going to call, but in the meantime, Tad, what's happening in the gun world?
Oh, you have 25 days left to buy your single-shot exemption pistols after they become illegal on 1 January 2015. So if you want to get that Glock 42 or Sig Sauer P320 or any Generation 4 Glock, you better get to work. You got exactly 25 days. So you have time to buy it, start your dealer record of sales, and you must pick it up within the 20-day time frame after you start that dealer record of sales. So you're
getting close.
Yeah, there's going to be hundreds of pistols that will no longer be available to Californians after 1 January 15. Hundreds of them.
And that's just, wow. That's a topic we can get going. So we've got a call. Oh, we've got Congresswoman LaMalfa on the phone. And good morning.
Good morning.
This is Trish Clark you're dealing with here this morning.
Hi, Trish.
How are you? And Ted Leidy is joining us.
Good morning, Congressman.
How's it going?
Excellent. Good.
So you are in the North State?
Yeah, just got in late last night.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in. So how's the crazy world of Washington, D.C.?
Well, it's the usual sausage-making process that you would observe in in legislating. So we're getting through some important things. But you don't always get what you want, as they say in rock and roll. But I think we're transitioning well to where we need to be, starting in January when the game changes with a stronger House and a newly formed U.S. Senate, that we can establish the priorities that are, I think, are really important, and that most of my colleagues, at least on one particular side of the aisle think are important as well. So we're more buoyed by that. In the short term, we still have to get through keeping things operational in government for from now until that time, as many aspects of it expire, whether it's December 11th or a little later in the month. And that's just too much chaos for everybody involved to let it go that way. So
what happens now, Doug? Just for you know, we know what we read in the media, we've got a lame duck Congress right now that is, you know, are they going to try to accomplish anything? Or are we going to tread water through the end of the year till a new Congress takes over? Are we in danger of having him enact way more things on us?
Well, we're always in danger in that because there's a certain amount of executive power.
he's got a lot more than most.
Well, he's exerted in a way that has been more aggressive, I think, than ever really seen. So you'll folks will say, like, well, others have used executive powers and orders and such, but they haven't used them on in such an aggressive manner that really defies the law or what we see selectively enforces the law. And that's what's going on. Is when he started the whole thing with the deferred action for children, you know, the DACA, he just basically told all the law enforcement arms that he's the executive over, don't bother enforcing our border on what they're, you know, terming as children coming across the border. And that is being extended more so with some of this immigration. We don't call it reform. When you reform something, you make it better.
One would hope.
He's basically looking the other way on immigration, deferring for 3 more years certain types of deportations. And their starting point for any kind of negotiation on what they're terming immigration reform basically is amnesty for everybody that's already here illegally. And that sort of amnesty, that's defined as citizenship in the fairly short term. So that's just a non-starter for our side. I mean, there's things we can negotiate, and you know, big part of it is that we have to have strong border control, and we have to have some type of ability, have a work program for people that are here playing by the rules, and those things would be fairly simple to get to, I think, in a sensible world. But when they start with just amnesty for all illegals, they will hardly discuss border enforcement. And we've already been there before. You know, there's a fence promised, I think, it was in the 90s somewhere.
Yes.
And that's hardly been done. So our side, you know, we act in good faith, and the pro status quo on immigration, they seem to like keeping it this way. So we're not going to be continuously fooled by this, so that's why we dig in, and that's we get called names for not wanting to come to the table to do immigration reform.
Well, you gotta pay attention to who's calling you names, and unfortunately, with the media being controlled by the administration, pretty much, if you listen to the people, certainly I think you know that from your district, and I don't think it's just in the conservative parts of the country. I think if you look at the map, it's how the votes go, that the majority of the people are really behind what the Republicans want to do. And personally, my own opinion is that some of the people that are in charge of the Republican Party back there need to start listening to their constituents and stop listening to the media.
Well, see, what you don't hear is what is being said internally. What you have, you know, I could relay it to you, but what gets out there on the internet and the media is a spin on that, where somebody says something at least somewhat like, well, here's what we could work on. Here's what we could work on work permits and work programs. And then people out there that make money off that by sending out flyers and saying, hey, we need your contribution because the Republicans are going to sell out, you know, to X organization or Y organization. They hype that up.
Yeah.
They're going to sell out on us. Like, there's not a chance. We have too many really strong people in the conference, and the speaker himself will tell you, we're not going to do that. But we are going to look at how we can have a work permit program. We're going to look for a way, is there people that have broken the law that can have some sort of restitution to get right with the law. But this doesn't mean blanket amnesty. It doesn't mean blanket front-of-the-line citizenship. that there ought to be a difference that people can see, you know, even from the conservative wing of things, that yes, there's reasonable ways to do this, but we're dug in on not giving them what they want as far as just blanket amnesty. That's what Mrs. Pelosi says, and that doesn't fly, because it's against the rule of law. It's against what we teach our kids. So whether it's Mrs. Pelosi or Luis Gutierrez from Illinois thundering away on the House floor, that's just a non-starter for us, and it really, I get pretty indifferent to it after a while, because that's not right.
I so agree with you, and I'm glad to hear that, because we get concerned about the possibility that the Republican Party is just going to roll over. We're going to take a break here. If you'd like to join us and have questions for the congressman, you can call at 605-4567. And when we come back, I want to talk just a little bit about if there's any possibility we're going to do something with Obamacare. We'll be right back.
A little holiday magic can go a long way, especially when it comes to shopping. Online superstores just don't have the cheer and warmth you need when winter kicks in and the to-do lists get long. But there's one place that really celebrates the season. Mount Shasta Mall's 80 stores and services help you give with confidence, and all the special seasonal events make sure you can enjoy some signature holiday magic. Charity Trail of Trees and Family Dynamics presents Storytime with Santa this Saturday, December 6th at the food court beginning at 9:30 a.m., a free book to the first 200 children donated by First Five Shasta. Milk and cookies will be served. Crafts and activities following at JCPenney and Macy's Courts from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Drawings and giveaways from all gift cards and Turtle Bay memberships. Mark your calendar and join the fun. Find the cheer this year when you celebrate and shop at the Mount Shasta Mall. Give a little magic.
If you take multiple prescriptions, you know the hassle of renewing prescriptions as they run out. Every prescription is another trip to the pharmacy. Oh, it could be 3 or 4 or 5 trips in a month. Now, Owens Pharmacy can make your life easier with MedSafe. It's a new service that adjusts your pill count so that all your prescriptions renew on the same day. One date to renew all your prescriptions for 30 or 90 days, and it's automatic. So you don't need to remember it, and you won't run out. Save time. Save gas. Save the hassle. Let us make your life easier. Call Owens Pharmacy today to sign up for MedSync. Imagine the time you'll save. Call 1-800-MY-OWENS, and we'll give you one less thing to remember. Owens Pharmacy, making your life easier.
The countdown to Christmas is on. Find your perfect Christmas at the amazing shops downtown. Carousel on Yuba Street is brimming with stylish designer clothes, beautiful handmade jewelry, and artwork made by local artists, and fabulous scented candles. Get your girlfriends together and throw a private party for a fun way to celebrate this holiday season. That's Carousel at 1555 Yuba Street. Unique stores and more in beautiful downtown Reading. It's Christmas in the making.
For 5 years, Boomer Tech Radio has been bringing you tech news that you can use, and now we are expanding our program to a second full hour. That's right, Saturday from noon to 1 and Sunday from 11 to noon, you can catch up on the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos that affect your day-to-day digital life. We're brought to you each week by Advanced Automotive of Reading, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belangi, now Saturday and Sunday on Boomer Tech Radio, KCNR 1460.
Okay, and welcome back. And this is Trish Clark. It's Friday morning, not Thursday. You can join us at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com. It's 56 degrees in downtown Reading, and we've got slight drizzly rain going on. We've got Congressman Doug Lamalfe on the phone. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
And Mr. Lighty is going to jump in here.
Congressman, I noticed that the last thing you did before you left Washington was vote to nullify Obama's executive amnesty through H.R. 5759, and it passed, and it says it's being sent to the Senate. Can you tell us where that's at and what you expect to come out of it?
Well, that was the House making its statement on how it felt about funding that, and that it was a really overreach by the president. You can debate whether or not he has that executive power or not. Many believe he doesn't constitutionally. They'll say, oh, look at Ronald Reagan and this and that. So it's a, it was a very aggressive overreach. And so we took that step to show the American people that here's the House's position on that. We're going to send that bill to the Senate. And it's up to Harry Reid to explain whether or not why he thinks that's a good policy, and our Republican senators over there to try and wrestle that away from him and have that policy be put in place. So it's, you know, we don't expect miracles out of that, but some would also tell us, like, well, it won't do any good, and, you know, you get bad-mouthed for saying or for doing that by, well, it's just a stunt, it'll never work. Like, well, then why do we ever try to do anything? Go ahead.
Realistically, everybody says the Congress can control what he does because the power of the purse strings rests in the Congress. So if you guys don't fund it, theoretically it can't happen, right?
The power of the purse it does originate in the House. And we have that power over a lot of things. When you're talking about some of these aspects of immigration, when people are paying fees and paying for the service of the immigration application or the work application or whatever phase it is they're working on, it has a self-funding mechanism to that, that those are laws that are already in place. So if people make those applications, that's its own self-perpetuating fund of money.
But those people that we're talking about
is going to move money around from different pots they already have. So the defund isn't the simplest thing. Oh, just defund it. Now, longer term, and that's part of the package we're working on next week. We have the omnibus appropriations package, which one portion of it is DHS, Department of Homeland Security. So we're wrestling with that over that right now. We're going to fund a lot of the aspects that have already gone through the Appropriations Committee. They've gone through an amendment process where they've gone through amendments on the House floor. I've had some of those amendments myself to defund certain aspects of the whole big package. Department of Homeland Security, which is the one that's going to oversee part of this, we have not come to an agreement on an appropriation in that. So that's going to have to go to the temporary spending bin known as the continuing resolution. So we've kept that separate because we're not going to agree to fund the DHS in the way the president wants to on a long-term basis.
Okay.
So that's why what you'll be hearing about next week is the omnibus bill will be covering all the other aspects of the Appropriations Committee work that we did, which that's the process you want. That's I as Americans that respect the Constitution, we want a real appropriation contract.
Absolutely.
Process.
Instead of that, just roll the whole thing over.
It's had to come through committee instead of the continuing resolution.
Gotcha. You know, Doug, we have a call.
We still have to do the CR sometimes because it's hard to get agreement out of the Senate or have something the president won't immediately veto. So I think we should still send things to the White House, especially after the first of the year. Send them up, let them veto it. Then do another one, send them up, let them veto it.
Absolutely.
If it's not what we believe in, you know, I mean, does the media, are they going to beat the crud out of us for being the obstinate ones? Well, I don't know, because they're all
controlled by him.
There's 535 representatives of both houses that are duly elected by their states or by their districts to do the job, and it all keeps going up that long straight road on Pennsylvania, and if it keeps stopping there, you would hope that maybe the tide would turn. So,
you know,
keeping the DHS separate is that we can have a short-term extension, keep the thing operating, but not give it a long-term amount of money so he can phase in the executive order. So that's the strategy. That's what we can work with for the time being until after the first year when the new Senate's sworn in. And then we hope to jump right back into the appropriation process. And because we didn't get the appropriation process approved on the DHS portion, we couldn't get that agreement. After the first, you know, I mean, we hope to accomplish that with a better Senate. So we think that's the best strategy we have to handle this in the short term. But, yeah, when you have a rogue, out-of-control White House there that doesn't seem to care about it's selectively enforcing laws. It's selectively enforcing on who's already broken the law. It's crazy.
And I think I concur with you, though, is we need to point that out, and we need to make him veto it. We need to go through the process, send the bills up there, get Harry Reid out of there. That is going to be such a breath of fresh air after the first of the year. And get somebody in there.
He's not like moving to the minority leader office very much. And he's up for re-election in 2016 over there in Nevada. And so, you know, I wouldn't wonder if he I'd wonder if he even wants to stick around after 2016. So who knows what might.
Well, we can always hope.
Yeah.
But so, and if
I mean,
not,
Republicans
will
have a challenge holding the Senate in 2016 because of presidential election year politics.
Absolutely.
Get a different turnout. We'll have a complete different one third of the Senate seats that'll be up that year. So I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I think Republicans will have to defend more seats in 2016. So, you know, it'll be hunkered down. And
don't you think, Doug, that if we can come up with a really good candidate for president, I think there's some people out there, and I'm just hoping that the mainstream Republican Party is going to listen to what we're saying out here, is going to look at the results of the last presidential election and figure out that we're not interested in getting along and making nice and acting like a Democrat. We want somebody to run in this office that is a conservative Republican. I think it's very clear that Romney didn't lose because he didn't carry the middle of the roaders. What he didn't carry was the Republican Party.
Because a lot stayed home.
Unfortunately, they did. And I think, I'm just hoping that the people that are like you of the mindset of a conservative, less government format will be able to get a candidate to represent them and go forward as the candidate, and that the Republican Party in the process of the primaries don't completely destroy their credibility by beating up on each other. I think then we can maybe carry the Senate and the House and have a full swing. But I think it's going to take a conservative candidate to make that happen. What do you think?
It'll take somebody with the right kind of energy and an outlook and a track record of success. And, without going official on it here, my favorite candidate right now is Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker.
Wow, I can go with that.
He's shown excellent leadership in Wisconsin, and you know they're not the biggest state in the world, but he's taken a deficit situation, made it positive. He's fought back against some political powers that be and come through it. He's gone through a tough recall election there where the unions basically came after him, and a tough re-election here the other day. So I think he's made of the right stuff. I would look alternately as Ohio Governor John Kasich. He has a strong record fiscally in the past and being a good governor of Ohio. So all the rest I hear talking about there, a lot of people like Ben Carson, and he's a great guy and very wise, very knowledgeable. I would, hope there's a place for him in this process that goes on. I'm not sure that he's ready for going from here to presidential, but there's a lot of great things about him.
And certainly, you're right. I hope there's a place for him in the future, the mix.
So, some of the other Republicans are being talked about, and I won't really name the names, but I don't even see how they get off the ground or how they think that's a good idea. And so you can discern whoever you think they are.
Well, and I'll tell you, when I talk to my friends, I've got people that I'm still in touch with up and down the state from my days when I was in office, and I'm telling you that they're not going to back a middle of the roader. We just want to act like a Democrat guy again.
We don't want you to get along. We want you to take our country back.
Hmm? We don't want you to get along back there. We want you to take our country back.
Yeah, I get it. So there's certain areas where you compromise, and there's a lot of areas where you draw the line in the sand.
That's why we win elections.
I think we're country folks, and we know what those things are. Some things are negotiable, and many things are not. And so, and then you're also looking at what do you have to work with back there, and what are the effects of your actions, no matter which way. And so you weigh a lot of things, and I have to hold my nose once in a while and do certain things. But if you still see that you're charted on a course that's going to get you there, in the near future, the mid future, whatever it is, then I feel all right about it. But if I feel like I have to do something that doesn't build on that foundation to getting us to where we need, and is it right now? Is it 2016? But ultimately, the more distant future, the bigger part is the U.S. going to be a respected power around the world, and is its own fiscal situation where we're eclipsing the $18 trillion national debt? That concerns me, really those two things of what the function of U.S. government should be need to be corrected.
I hear you.
Do I see a course that we've charted to stop this deficit spending? You know, it's one that's 10 years out.
Yeah.
Paul Ryan, he's a really good guy, and he set a course on that. Maybe some of my conservative friends say it's not aggressive enough. The liberal media and the Dems on the other side, they'll caterwaul over every tiny thing he does in the budget to try and put it on that course. So.
Okay, Doug, we need to go to a break. We need to pay some bills here. Savannah needs to remind us of who our sponsors are.
Yes, one of them is Bastiani Arms, located 2539 Larkspur, Reading. It's our firearms dealer of choice when it comes to selecting that new long gun or pistol, having their gunsmith work on our guns, or buying ammo. John Bastiani provides himself on customer service and always having what the customer needs in stock and at fair price. And at fair prices. You can give Bastiani Arms a call, 222-82222. And then Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Perfect place to get a caramel macchiato at Espresso Joe's. Walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in California, proudly serving the finest in your tobacco needs. There we are, Bastiani Arms and Tobacco Brew.
Okay, and we're going to take a break. And if you've got a question for the congressman, you can call us at 605-4567, and we'll be right back.
It's beautiful this time of year. You've just got to get out and enjoy it. But achy, tired, and heavy legs can make you avoid things you love doing and keep you stuck inside with your feet up, missing out on the fun of fall. You may have venous insufficiency causing varicose veins, and treating it not only improves the appearance of your legs, it can also improve how they feel. So don't worry, you won't be stuck inside for very long. MD Imaging's board-certified vein specialists are your local vein and vascular treatment experts, trained in all the latest therapies for varicose veins. Our skilled doctors have been safely performing varicose vein treatments for over 9 years. Call MD Imaging's Vascular and Interventional Center today at 245-5945 to schedule a complimentary evaluation so you can look and feel great.
Everybody calls us summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
The weather outside is frightful, but the wine over on the west side is delightful. Westside Wines at 1872 Buenaventura is your new hotspot for holiday cheer. Whether you are a wine newbie or you really know your vintages, the wine educators at Westside Wines can help you find that perfect bottle. From beautiful Bordeaux to crisp Chardonnays, their rare boutique finds will surely delight you. Westside Wines wishes you a sparkling Christmas.
Sunday, December 7th at the Reading Civic Auditorium, the world-famous Popovich Comedy Pet Theater. See these wonderful animals, all rescued from shelters and now performing amazing feats to entertain the entire family. Purchase tickets at 229-0022 or readingcivic.com. A portion of the tickets go to Haven Humane Society to help our local homeless animals find forever homes. Mark your calendars Sunday, December 7th for the Popovich Comedy Pet Theater.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9
on KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in a boondocks.
The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town.
Okay, the boys are back in town, and I guess that's okay. And this is Trish Clark, and I'm joined this morning by Ted Leidy. We're sitting in for Carl and Linda. You can join us at 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com, and you're listening to Free Fire Radio, the voice of the North State. If there's anything that we're not talking about, it's not happening. So we are joined this morning by Congressman Doug LaMalfa, and we have a phone call that we're going to go to Billy Bob. It's on line one. Good morning,
yes,
Billy.
Good morning.
How are you?
Hey, good, good. Hey, Congressman, I've got some questions that are directly related to your district here in California. And it sounds like they're filling your waiters up back there in Washington, you know, waiting for you to sink to the bottom of the basin. But my question is, what do you got specifically going for this Congress district of yours, and something that we can hang our hat on that might help us here with our timber, that sort of thing? Plus, I want to have an update on this dam removal in on the Klamath, which I'm very concerned about. So I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you, Billy Bob. Congressman?
Okay, certainly. Well, the dam removal, to start with that one, has been a lot of rumbling and a big last-minute push coming out of the Senate. They have a bill that got out of their respective committee, but it's still sitting on their floor. They've been looking for a vehicle to drop that into because at this frenzied time in a lame duck session here, the lame duck meaning that's the portion after the November election but before the new Congress is sworn in January, certain things try to get done with the retiring members or whatever that maybe wouldn't happen in January. And I think things will look a lot different in January with that Senate completely being different. So Senator Wyden up there, as well as Senator Merkley, both from Oregon, are making a push to try and drop their Klamath Basin Agreement, which includes the dam removal, into a vehicle. One of those vehicles slipped by without that ability yesterday when we approved the National Defense Authorization Act, which had a rider in there on lands, on public lands in the country, and I think they'd hoped to attach to that. Well, that didn't happen, and we weren't going for it either. So the dam removal issue is just about out of time. I don't see how they can attach that to anything in the a few days we'll be working next week, because basically we have through Thursday, and these things have to be in print. They have to be available at the desk. So if it's not really there by, I think, Monday night in some form from the Senate, then it can't happen in this session.
That's good news.
We don't want it to happen in any session, because I still haven't seen demonstrated by anybody with any kind of proof that there's a benefit to the dam removal that outweighs the harm it's going to cause our constituents in Siskiyou County, the farmers and ranchers, the hydroelectric green power that's generated by those, and that the agreements they come to aren't really done by having a gun to the head of the people at the agreement. So it doesn't, you know, they've not really addressed in any real way when they talk about, okay, if this is supposed to benefit fish in the river, what about the millions of tons of silt behind the dams? And we see how much headstand they do over a little tiny bit of silt when you drive next to a Caltrans project going down the highway, and they put all this rice straw out there and these rice straw wattles to be sure that no amount of silt gets into somebody's drainage ditch.
Right.
And so they're just going to look the other way and say, oh, it's fine on, you know, whatever, 20 million tons or whatever it is of silt behind those series of dams. That's just one thing. If we're talking environmental, if we're talking pro fish, right? So there's just so many unanswered questions. You know, if I'm trying to be objective about it, listen to both sides, they still haven't made the case.
No, I think you're absolutely right.
But I think it's more of about getting a trophy on the wall of saying, hey, we got these dams torn down. Let's see what else we can put in our gun sites next.
Gotcha.
Because it's a very marginal river for the different species of salmon and fish we're talking about as far as its temperature and flow anyway. And so I don't see that happening in this next week. They'll come back, but it could. The whole situation has changed with the courts adjudicating a whole bunch of that water right for the Klamath tribes up there. And that's where things could get different, is because if they exert those water rights in a way that's significantly different, see, that's where they, you know, hammered out a portion of the compromise on it. They're keeping some water flowing. If they decide to cut it all off, then that means some folks are really in big trouble in the farming and ranching. So that's why we're trying to at least be listeners and see what we can do to address it. But if it's just straight dam removal, that's a real big roadblock.
Gotcha.
On the other portion of his question there, what are we doing more beneficial to the North States? I sit as a member of the Ag Committee and the Natural Resources Committee, and that looks like where I'll be in the next session here, so unless committee somehow change some more. And so my constant holy grail in natural resources has been timber and the management of our forests and addressing the non-management that, unfortunately, U.S. Forest Service, either hamstrung by upstairs in Washington, D.C., or the fear of lawsuits by environmental groups that don't really want to allow anything to happen, have been largely ineffective in getting our forests managed in a way that makes them safe, healthy, or productive parts of the economy and accessible to the American people which own them.
Well, bottom line on the timber, Doug, instead of cutting it, we're burning it, and we've got to get beyond that.
Yeah, I'd rather breathe the oxygen put off by the trees than a bunch of particulate matter by a burning tree.
And they're so overgrown, and there's so much overgrowth underneath the trees that you get any little spark in most of our forests throughout the state of California, and you're going to have a catastrophic fire. And until we get in there and start making healthy forests out of them again, they're not going to change that. We want to jump now to, did you happen to read the Record Searchlight this morning?
Not often.
Well, there's an article that Ted's going to bring to light here, written an opinion piece about the Tea Party.
Yeah, we've got our council in place, our new council in place, less than a week, and we've already got somebody blaming the old council for everything that's wrong with Reading, including our low rating on the last Gallup poll for quality of life. So basically, this
was the quality of life defined by the council or by what it's like to live in great Northern California. You know, I mean, how much do you credit government at any phase? Congress, I mean, we get graded on how many bills we do, right, by some people anyway. You're a do-nothing Congress. Well, if we're doing quality work, but anyway, what did they say?
Well, you know, basically it's we need to start blaming somebody right away just in case, you know, the new group falls short on a few places. We need to start setting up this blame line right now, just like, you know, just like that side always does, calling the Tea Party a bunch of fascists and our councilman that just left, right-leaning.
If they looked at what the Tea Party stands for, and then when they associate the word fascist...
I know, is it crazy? You gotta take the time to go online and read this editorial.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Constitutional government and freedom for people. I mean, it's ridiculous that the low level, that the decorum, that the conversation, that the language used these days. I mean, it's just... So what's the conclusion of the newspaper's own editorial or a write-in?
No, this was a write-in by a gentleman by the name of Greg Beal.
Hmm. Yeah, he basically wrote in and just regurgitated what Rachel Maddow might say, which was just a waste of space in print as far as I'm concerned. But it is kind of funny that we're just 7 days or however many days since they took over that we're now setting up that blame line. And you know what? We did have some...
Well, the model starts at the White House because we're still 6 years later, President Bush is the blame for everything.
Exactly, the point that Ted's making.
Yeah, the beauty of this is it even blames President Bush for part of it. I mean, we're still doing that. Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. You know, we should be looking forward.
And we shouldn't give it any more airtime. So what else do you want to talk about?
Yeah, good
exactly.
call.
Well, no,
good
the
call.
Point is, let's give some airtime to the Tea Party because they've done some great things in Shasta County of organizing a lot of people, getting a lot of information out to the citizens. They were very proactive during the election process. They have some great informational meetings providing information on all the issues that impact the North State. And I think they've, I just want to give a shout out to the Tea Party here. And I think they've done a great job of
exposing. Well, they've tried to do that without prejudice. But if there's anything we walk into the room with, is with the idea that we follow the Constitution and that we embrace those founding principles. So if you call that a prejudice, I guess that's, you know, someone else's problem. But what I've seen they trying to do, whether, you know, up and down the valleys, keep partisanship out of it and say, what's the real issue here? What's the way that we uphold our freedom and adhere to the Constitution, especially here in 2014 when we have so many layers of things we have to peel back to get back down and find the Constitution.
Yes.
With the way government operates. That, you know, so they're all not right. perfect, but most of them are regular folks that have decided to become engaged in the political process and care about it, especially when they saw their country in trouble and starting in 2009 when Obamacare and stimulus packages and cash for clunkers and every other little scheme started really becoming front and center. That's when that thing really generated. So I'm glad to see people participating.
All right, we need to pay some bills and take a break.
Congressman, I'll talk to you a little bit later.
Okay.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back on the other side.
I need that.
The Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange sells a wide variety of freeze-dried emergency foods. But in times of crisis, all you need to do is add hot water. To help you heat that water, the Patriot now carries the Sun Rocket Solar Water Heater and Thermos. This amazing compact device can heat to a boil 2 cups of water in just over an hour using just ordinary sunlight. Use it in meal preparation, melt snow for drinking, and eliminate Giardia and other waterborne bacteria through heat pasteurization. It's ideal for camping, picnics, and sporting events, and essential in any home or auto emergency kit. Remember, peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store. Don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Redding, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way, next to the Round Table. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And in Palisadro, we're in the Holiday Marketplace. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
Looking for an unusual quality piece of jewelry? Do you have a wristwatch or timepiece that needs to be repaired and you don't know where to go to? Well, Four Winds Jewelry is the place. They have the only watch repair technician in town. Four Winds Jewelry is located at 2225 Hilltop Drive. And Four Winds Jewelry are the experts in gold or loose stones, opals, estate jewelry, or Native American pieces.
Go in and see Leonard and his associates. Four Winds Jewelry, meeting all your jewelry needs. Open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4 p.m. 222-2750.
Four Winds Jewelry.
The City of Redding Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. The summer is a good time to give your irrigation system a tune-up. Remove anything blocking the sprinkler heads and fix any broken ones. Look at the spray heads on your sprinklers while they're working. Adjust them to avoid overspray onto driveways and sidewalks. Excess water flowing into the gutter doesn't help your landscape and it can pollute our creeks and rivers. Be water smart. Visit RedingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Redding Water Utility.
Did you know Turtle Bay offers free admission to active duty military families? Turtle Bay's newest exhibition, Liberty on the Border, is a perfect opportunity to enjoy this perk. Starting October 11th, you can learn why the Civil War came about and the impact it still has on society today. Liberty on the Border is presented by Senator Maurice and Marianne Johannesson, supported by Best Western Plus Hilltop Inn, C.R. Gibbs American Grill, and KCNR 1460 AM Free Fire Media. For park hours and information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Hey, it's Ernie and Dave with a major announcement.
Swap and Sell has moved.
Entertainment for the whole family.
Right. Swap and Sell has moved to 8 to 9 every Saturday morning right here on KCNR.
We talk about yard sales, garage sales, or if you're having a non-commercial fundraiser, join us 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every Saturday.
We're here. That's Swap and Sell with Ernie and Dave right here on KCNR 1460 AM radio.
Peace.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is Ted Leidy doing my own live read. This portion of the show is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Come down and meet our team of professionals who are all NRA instructors. We provide the most complete CCW training in Northern California. And as always, you need a firearm or ammunition, we will provide it free of charge. Give me a call at 999-1822, Northern Firearms Instruction.
And then we have Crackmaster that we need to thank. There's no other windshield repair business besides them that does a quality of work from chips to cracks over 24 inches in length. Call Jeff at 241-8373 or stop by 3208 Market Street. And last but not least, Crown Motors. You can give them a call. Actually, you can go to their location located at 555 Cypress Avenue, and you can check out some great military vehicles that we have on display. And then, you know, I'm actually reading a holiday Crown Motors, so just check them out at 555 Cypress Avenue. And that's all I have on Crown Motors.
All right. Well, we're trying to do all of the pay bills things that we have to do here to keep this radio station up and running, and we are so thankful for all the sponsors that we have. So you are listening to Free Fire Radio. This is Trish Clark and Ted Leidy this morning sitting in for Carl and Linda Bott, who will be back on Monday, and we're joined this morning by Congressman LaMalfa. Final words, Doug? What do we need to know?
Oh, we have a caller, Terry.
Oh, wait. Let's go to the phones then. We have call Terry on the line.
Doug.
Yes.
How are you?
Well, pretty good. I'm at home.
You're home, huh?
Question, Terry.
Yes. The question is, on the state of Jefferson, I know you've been a proponent for that probably for a lot longer than most people have even known about it. And we were in Lake County the other day. While we were in Lake County, we went to the Board of Supervisors and did a presentation. There was a gentleman who stood up and said he's taking 900 jobs out of that county and moving it to Oregon because of California regulations. Are you seeing a pattern across the United States that people are getting fed up with the regulations that states are doing and the federal overreach?
Well, yeah, just a great example the other day here that's been in process for a while. Colorado has taken a pretty strong anti-gun tack here in the last couple of years. A company called Magpul, they make magazines and other gun-related items. They gave them a chance, and they stuck with their anti-gun legislation, and so they pulled out of Colorado and moved up to Wyoming. Oregon has taken in this last election, elected more state legislators that are going to look harder at and work harder on anti-gun legislation up there. So I'm not sure moving to Oregon really helps much. You have to find freer states than even those two. With you know, I when looking at this dam removal question a bit earlier, I sat down with one of their U.S. senators here this week and listened to what he had to say about that. But you know, at some point we can't keep running from the problem. And so we have to win in California, we have to win in Oregon, we have to win in the whole country. Unfortunately, the election, again, the tide stopped at the Sierra Mountains here. We didn't do great in California on any of the statewide offices. We did have the state legislature come back and not have the complete two-thirds control in both houses. Both the Assembly and Senate have improved in that sense, but that was about it in California.
We're a test state to conquer.
So, you know, Jefferson, I think, is a really, really neat idea that is got a grassroots movement behind it. That it's not unprecedented here that states are divided. You know, Virginia has West Virginia, and there's North and South Carolina, and there's many, many other examples around the country. It just hasn't been done in a while. And so the naysayers will make fun of it and say all sorts of things. But certainly the idea of people wanting to be independent from others that completely think opposite of them and don't respect what this region has is a natural desire, and I don't see anything why that should be criticized as people pursue it. So, but it's a grassroots movement, and I'm actually quite proud of how well people have done at that. You just got to keep an orderly sales pitch going on that to everybody, and let it come to you a little bit too. So
we're hopeful that
what I can be doing in the meantime is. For what we need for the North State is an economy. And what we do best here is things that are tied to resources, whether that's
out in the field, out in the forest, out in the mines, or when you bring that back into town for the people that produce the things and produce the services that used to be tied directly to that. And so I know we're going to run out of time here in a minute, but one of the big things that we're trying to get accomplished here before the end is California's in a drought. Hasn't looked like the last couple of days. You know, a lot of rainfall here. Some folks even getting flooded out. Some of our friends in Tehama County a little bit. But by golly, we need to be harnessing this water, harnessing this hydroelectric power. Removing dams is ridiculous. Spending taxpayer dollars to do it is ridiculous, especially with no proof of benefit. And so that is a strong economic thing we can be doing for our state and making California just a little more attractive to keeping the jobs here instead of running away by having a power electricity grid, a water supply, and the regulatory load Terry was talking about. Back it off a little bit, and I think in this next Congress we'll be able to be doing that by harnessing, reining in the EPA with their ridiculous regulations on water and the Army Corps of Engineers' ridiculous regulations they're proffering on whether it's affecting flood control. You know, they do some good work on flood control here and there, but they've been very difficult to work on allowing people to use their land properly or even keep what they have on their land, going so far as you make people take their trees out on a small piece of private property because they think it's in a waterway. It's ridiculous what these guys are doing back there. So this new Congress, I think, is going to be pretty successful in taking the funding away. And like we've had, you know, limited success with some of those amendments this year. But this is the kind of stuff we have to attack because the regulatory load is chasing them out of California. And Oregon's not going to really be a safe haven either. I mean, there's going to be fewer places left if we allow the president to keep exerting the EPA on the production of power, whether it's by coal energy or the vast resources we have. We could become energy. We could be less than $2 a gallon on fuel if we could go wide open on the energy we can extract from this country that we're doing on private land. There's a lot of public land. We can safely, responsibly, as good stewards, get the energy off of so much public land that's untapped. So there's so much we can do, and I'm looking forward to this new Congress to moving the ball much more effectively with a Senate that will actually work with us and take up our bills.
Well, we appreciate you joining us this morning, Congressman LaMalfa. And Terry, thanks for jumping in with that question.
You bet.
As always, we enjoy hearing what our representative that we're very proud of to is doing back in Washington, and please keep us informed and enjoy your weekend at home.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on. Everybody, have a good weekend.
All right.
Thank you, Congressman.
Thanks, Congressman. So, Ted, weekend coming up. Things we need to know about?
You need to know that at 12:30 we're meeting in Allendale Funeral Chapel at 9100 Deschutes Road to escort Staff Sergeant Antonio Ramos to the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. All Patriot Guard riders, Shasta veteran escort riders, and everybody else is invited to come down. I'm afraid there won't be many of us because of the rain, but we will be there rain and shine to escort that warrior to his final resting place and his wife, who is already buried there.
Well, and you know, it is raining, and that's probably not real comfortable on a motorcycle, but let's be real here. They probably weren't real comfortable doing their duty representing us and serving for us. So we need to get out there and do what we need to do for these veterans.
My buddy Kelly Molnar is the ride captain today. And so, again, we'll be meeting at 12:30 at Allendale and Palo Cedro, and I hope to see some riders there.
That's great. You know, that's always such a heartwarming sight to see that escort as it goes out to that beautiful cemetery. We're so fortunate. We've got the wreath laying coming up this weekend as well.
Yep.
And that'll go on rain or shine, there's an opportunity to get out there and help put those wreaths together. As always, in Shasta County, there's so many things going on. Excuse me. We have so many opportunities to get out and be a part of our community and join in. The Christmas tree lighted parade is this weekend. Remind you once again, you need to get down to the Frontier Senior Center on Sunday morning and bring your family and friends and join us for a great breakfast. And we always are anxious to see you there and visit. Good time could be had by all. Lots of other stuff going on in the community. This is your opportunity with Free Fire Radio, your community radio station, to boy, if you got something that's bothering you and you want to get it on the air, take this opportunity from 7 to 9 every morning, and you can call in and talk about either side of an issue. Carl and Linda are always anxious to expose both sides of issues. I tend to be a little right of Attila the Hun, and I think everybody knows that. I'm a little conservative, perhaps.
Yeah, like in my classes, I tell my classes, look, we don't talk politics in here because, well, you know my politics. There's no sense in talking about it.
Well, exactly. I think I've been exposed to the community long enough that nobody's real surprised that I am not often going to go on the other side of that. But I think I also have a reputation of listening to the other side. Because my mind can be changed if you have a valid argument. But if you just want to argue with me and blame somebody, then I'm probably not going to be very listenable to that.
Well, leadership demands that you listen to all sides first anyway.
Absolutely, and you need to do that because we can all learn and continue to learn. But it's a great area that we live. Thanks for being with us this morning. This is Trish Clark and Ted Leidy. Thank you for joining us. Y'all have a great weekend, and Carl and Linda will be back on Monday.
Thank you, Trish. Thank you, Savannah.
Bye.
Gonna stand my ground.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. NASA's Orion spacecraft is back home after its maiden voyage. Orion splashing down in the Pacific a short time ago following a successful test flight. NASA hopes to eventually use the craft to carry astronauts to Mars. President Obama's defense secretary nominee says he's taking the Pentagon's top job for the troops.
To you, I pledge to keep faith with you.
Ashton Carter is the president's choice to succeed Chuck Hagel.
In a White House announcement, the president called Carter one of the country's foremost national security leaders. Carter was deputy defense secretary from 2011 to 2013 and previously was the Pentagon's technology and weapons buying chief.
He knows the Department of Defense inside and out, which all of which means that on day one, he's going to hit the ground running.
If confirmed by the Senate, Carter would replace Chuck Hagel, who resigned last month under pressure from the president.
SRN News White House correspondent Greg Clugston.